This is the New World Order, the eugenics world government, now coming into fruition. We are joined by Dave Mustaine, the founder and lead guitarist and lead singer of Megadeth. Guitarist, lead singer of Megadeth, Megadeth.com. The new album is Endgame. And I just want to say that growing up 12, 13, 14, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35 today, I have always loved Megadeth because the lyrics, I didn't even really understand them when I was 12, 14, 15 years old, 20 years old. But then as I learned about the New World Order, the eugenics, the master plan, it really did influence me. And I didn't even realize how much it did. A man way before his time understanding what was coming. Most of their covers are about the UN and world government. And now it's all happening. Dave Mustaine joining us. Thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome, Alex.
What do you think about what's happening? World government being announced.
It's pretty frightening. I have to be really careful when I do my interviews and talk about a lot of stuff because, you know, you have to be objective and you have to give people the right to think out of the box. But I think you and I agree on a lot of things. And especially, I want to tell you thanks for inspiring me to look into the whole Endgame film. And I actually had discovered this document through watching an inspirational video, and then I know we'd spoken before, and that was a privilege for me because I believe you're a patriot, and I think that our country needs more people like you. And as far as having our record called Endgame, you know, I think the best way to thank somebody is to, you know, to bring credit where credit's due, so thanks.
Well, thank you, Dave. Listen, that's just amazing that you influenced me, and then now with my research, I've influenced you. It's kind of the circle is complete.
Almost. Now we just need one big boom.
Well, I tell you, I mean, my wife is freaked out because she researches all this, and she says it's happening. It's world government, world taxes, world carbon taxes. We're going to go to break in a moment, and some stations join us. But Dave, tell us about the new record that's already, from what I've seen in the news, exploding up the charts, Endgame.
Well, the new record we have recorded in a studio that I own in San Marcos, California. I moved back to San Diego after the lawsuit with Ellefson. I just didn't want to be in the same city with him, so we moved. And then when I started doing this record, of course, I have a real free world kind of thinking with my lyrics and stuff, so it was just going to be more of the same with this record, just continuing, you know, my idea to raise awareness and to help people think, you know, and I may not be right, but you know what, I'm certainly right to inspire people to question, and this record has a lot of topics in it. It talks about the collapse of the financial institutions. You know, I went to school and I got licensed by the state and federal government to work on Wall Street as a stockbroker. And I figured, you know, being in the music business, most people in the music business aren't very smart when it comes to their money, so I wanted to be smart and educate myself about that. And along the way, you know, you learn so much. The more that you're willing to exercise your brain, the more that you discover that it's just frightening. You know, watching the Zeitgeist clip and then, you know, knowing all the stuff that's going on with the Amaro and so on and so forth, you know, these are all things that are pretty tip. You know, pretty atypical conspiracy theories and stuff. But, I mean, if you really think, if just for one second you say, okay, maybe this isn't a conspiracy.
Dave, we've got a break. The satellite makes us break. Stay right there. We'll be right back with Dave Mustaine, the founder of Megadeth. Stay with us.
Let rats rule the streets.
here in a minute.
Acting like a robot.
Dave,
yep.
I listened to that song. That what did that come out in the early 1990s?
Yeah, that was on Countdown to Extinction.
And now you watch as the president is the head of the UN Security Council and the president, and they're openly announcing world government. How did you know all of this 15 years ago?
I don't know. Lucky guess, maybe. Paying attention to the news, listening to people like yourself, other people who are thinking, you know, for themselves, and they're not being led off to slaughter like mindless sheep.
Amazing. Some stations just joined us. Dave Mustaine, the founder and guitarist and lead singer of Megadeth. Megadeth.com is the website. A lot about the band, what's happening, what's going on. But you got interrupted by the break. Let's get back into what influenced your new, very popular, Out of the Gates, just released album, Endgame. And you were getting into how they try to call us conspiracy theorists, but it's all now being announced. Dave Mustaine.
Yeah, it's really easy for people whenever you talk about things that are controversial in nature for people to sit on the sidelines and point their fingers. So when anybody says anything that's controversial in nature, especially stuff that has to do with our government or any of the administration, what do they say? It's anti-patriotic, or they say that you're just a nut job, and to be even more insulting. And, you know, it's our nation was founded on people who think outside of the box, people who questioned authority, people who looked at things and said, you know, and I don't agree with this.
Well, it certainly was. The cover of Endgame, a lot of people have emailed me saying, what is it? And I go, well, it's totally clear. It's a bunch of, and tell me if I'm wrong, like zombie slaves in concentration camp uniforms being marched off towards a pyramidal light, and there's stacks of the FEMA coffins that have been deployed all over the country at depots. And there's a bunch of flies basically feeding on the death surrounding it. Is that an accurate breakdown of the cover?
That's really, really, really close. Everything that you said is accurate. There's a little bit more symbology there that you might not have noticed. A lot of the biblical stuff, like with the parting of the Red Sea and the people going through, there's also the barcode that's on their heads. If you look closely inside of the album cover, it has a larger picture, but if you look closely on the cover, there's what appears to be a mohawk going up the back of these guys' heads. That's not what it is. When you get inside of the cover and you look at it, it's the barcode, because, you know, they say nothing can be bought or sold without the mark, and it's going to be on your hand and your forehead, but nobody said it's going to go, you know, left to right. How about if it's, you know, fashionable like a mohawk? And then the thing with the flies on the outside and the way that they're just waiting, that was one of the plagues that happened to Egypt.
One of the biblical plagues, and I see it. They've got barcodes on the backs of their heads. They're in Gitmo orange jumpsuits, marching in what looks like a mass grave.
Mm-hmm. And they're going through the Red Sea of those black FEMA coffins. Those are the walls of the Black Sea being held back.
Well, there you have it from Dave Mustaine. And am I right to say that it kind of nexuses at a paramount point, like the eye of Lucifer or the eye of Satan that is energizing this scene?
Wow, that's pretty heavy. I didn't go that deep with that particular part of it. There is a light that they're heading to at the end, but it was more kind of like I don't know if the eye of Horus or whatever, you know, that kind of whole, you know, Stargate kind of thing where you're, stay away from the light, you know what I mean? It was just something that they were walking to, and it was just something that we, in blind faith, are walking to, and we don't even realize what we're walking through.
Absolutely. Wow, what a heavy cover. And I've seen, you know, doing some research for this interview and also checking the album out, all these people speculating what it is, and I looked at it immediately and said, yeah, those are people marching to their death.
Yep.
But amazing. Tell us about some of the songs in the album.
Okay. The album starts off with a classic guitar duel. And I think a lot of your listeners will really dig the lyrics on this record, but there's also a lot of great guitar work. Guitar players have become very sissified because heavy metal in America. It peaked in the 90s when all the hair bands came out, and it lost its integrity to a lot of people. And it went underground, and now it's making a resurgence. They came through a period where they wouldn't even do it guitar solos. This guitar, this record is full of guitar solos. And we start off with an instrumental that's just, you know, lobbying guitar solos back and forth to each other, or volleying them back and forth with me and our other guitar player. And the next song is called This Day We Fight, which is influenced by the war speech that Aragorn gave in, or whatever his name was, in Lord of the Rings. You know, saying that, hey, man, we may die tomorrow, but we're not going to die today, because this day we're going to fight, and we're going to kick butt, and we're going to take down names. And that's how it's been for us. You know, we've really had to fight an uphill battle, but it really seems like the worm's turned. Websites like Blabbermouth that have hated me since the day that they started gave us an 8.5 on our new record, and they said that it's time for them to pay attention to Professor Dave. And I'm thinking, what? You know, this is a website that whenever I would say anything, they would post a story about it and slam me. So it, you know, it's amazing the way that everything is turned around right now for us, for me, for just sticking to my guns too, because there was a period where a lot of heavy metal bands reinvented themselves. So then we go into different songs, like 1320 is a song about drag racing, and the National Hot Rod Association loves the song. We've got a song called 44 Minutes, which is about the North Hollywood bank robbery that happened back in the 90s. And then, of course, the title track, which is about the document that I discovered that our former president had signed, that, you know, it was brought to my attention by searching the web, knowing who you are, and also seeing the part that you posted about Lou Dobbs, because I really respect that guy. And I thought, you know, there's just something really wrong about this. And I looked into it, and I thought, that's it. I'm going to sing a song about this, because it's perfect. It completely predicts. Because I read 1984 when I was just a kid, and I've got so many songs about this, like Hook and Mouth was about that. There was just a whole bunch of stuff that talks about this future world that we're just blindly marching into.
Well, we certainly are blindly marching in. We have video and photos of neighborhoods with no one even protesting, with the Pittsburgh police in Pennsylvania saying for the G20, no one's allowed to congregate, no one's allowed to be on the street. They say, flee, flee, and then they turn on the sound cannons. They hit my employees with it. We've got video of them walking up to women and billy clubbing them in the head. Pardon me?
I said, oh, my God.
Oh, no, it's incredible. We've got video, in fact, we'll play some of it in the background for people watching at PrisonPlanet.tv, not just on the radio, of the military pulling up and grabbing peaceful protesters, snatching and grab and cramming them into unmarked police cars. The military. I mean, wow. So they're not only announcing the world government and the world tax, and Obama is now a dual president in the UN and the U.S. As the chairman of the Security Council, but now the military's, I mean, it's like they want us to know that they're in control.
Yeah, I think so, huh? Wow. That's so sad.
I guess you take a mortal man, you put him in control. Watch him become a god.
That's right. And these things, you know, I've been talking about them forever. As long as I can write music, I've been talking about stuff like this. It didn't really get to a point where people would, you know, really take anything that I said seriously. I mean, imagine what it's like for these poor guys that sing songs about dragons.
Well, exactly. But, I mean, again, I've gone over the years and read your lyrics again, and it just rung true when I was 20 years ago. I mean, I've been listening to Megadeth since it started when I was about 12, and when you started it. And I was like, I don't know. It was always probably my favorite, if not my favorite, you know, heavy metal band. I like the speed metal and everything, you know, the mix and the different. And I like the fact that you're not fake. You've never changed. You've expanded and grown, but it's never changed. You're not changing your hairstyle or acting silly or trying, you know. I mean, you're doing what you want to do, being authentic. And I think that really underlines what you've done with Megadeth.
Well, I think that's a very American way, too, you know, just to be true to yourself and you know, to stand up for what you believe in. You know, it's hard for people to really stand up for what they believe in anymore because, you know, if you do something like that, they'll vilify you. You know, if you're doing anything that isn't status quo, you know, yeah, it was hard to, in the very beginning, to be open about my life, the problems I had, and to be open about, you know, the band and problems we had. And you know, people were not responding to that very well. But now, at this point, I can always say that, you know, I've been sincere since the beginning. You see these other guys that do these image makeovers and go from one band where they're dressed like, you know, they're the front man for Chains Addiction, and then the next band they're in, they're, you know, in some biker band, and it's like, how can you sell that? How can you convince your fans or the following that one day you can be an androgynous space queen and the next day you can be, you know, the spawn of the Big Red Machine, you know?
Well, again, you have been anti-New World Order, anti-global government. How long's Megadeth been around? 21 years, longer?
Yeah, it's been close to 25 years. When we started, it took a little time until we got the first lineup and went into the studio to record. That happened.
Stay there, Dave. Got a break again. Sorry to cut you off. We'll be right back. Amazing. Dave Mustaine.
Attention.
Song, the whole album at Megadeth.com, MEGADETH.com, or just Google Megadeth, the term Endgame, get it at iTunes, get the CD, get it all at Megadeth.com. We need to support this type of message. Megadeth is up there at the very top of heavy metal, ladies and gentlemen. And these folks have packed stadiums across the planet. We need this anti-New World Order message now more than ever to warn people. Whatever's going to happen with the New World Order, whatever this global system's going to do, we have to stand and resist it. And the clergy response teams have been hired by the feds to tell their flocks to not stand up and not resist. They're going to be raptured out. Ladies and gentlemen, that is unbelievable. Dave Mustaine, I tell you, every time I hear that song since it came out last week, it just blows me away, and the lyrics just get even more hard-hitting. The RFID, the New World Order, the president. And then we played in the first hour audio of armored vehicles with sound cannons saying almost the same thing you've got in that intro. I mean, talk about unbelievable.
Well, I'm a real American.
Hell yeah, you are. And let me tell you, tens of millions of Megadeth fans worldwide are now going to finally understand. They're always, why does he have the UN on the cover of his, you say my film Endgame influenced your album Endgame. This cover that I designed, I told the graphics person what to make, was influenced by a Megadeth cover. Did you notice that when you saw the Endgame DVD cover, that it was similar to that one where you have the UN and the flagless flagpoles?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I never saw the correlation. That's amazing.
But it's just crazy that you influence me and I'm influencing you.
Well, that's what I believe. Good ideas, when people share stuff like that, that, you know, it's a grassroots kind of thing, and people, they benefit from it in a huge way when they share the truth, because the truth is undeniable.
In fact, that was from Peace Sells. Peace Sells, but who's buying?
Yep.
That's awesome.
That was actually something that I saw. I got that song title from a Reader's Digest magazine. I was living with this girl, and she went to work, and I was a lazy musician, so I stayed back at her place, and there was a Reader's Digest there. That's why I make fun of the magazine and the song Sweating Bullets, why I say nice story, tell it to Reader's Digest. Well, yeah, because I actually read that magazine for a little while after I got the title for Peace Sells out of it. Interesting little book, but not something that's really modern anymore, I guess.
What did you think of my film Endgame itself, specifically?
I loved it. I thought it was great. I mean, you're very brave to go and get in the face of people like this. I guess we all have our calling.
Dave, we're about to break in a minute-long segment coming up. In fact, we'll probably pull up Peace Sells and play some of that, but some of the new album as well. How do folks, what's the best way, where's the best place to get your new album Endgame and to support what you're doing?
Well, I would say through Amazon or through iTunes. You know, you can listen to the music in many, many places right now. MySpace and iTunes really supported us. AOLmusic.com has supported us, too, with this record. And Amazon, it's the number one record at Amazon right now, and it's been that way for quite a few days. And
number one.
Yep.
Endgame was number one for a few days on DVD, my film. But I tell you, that is incredible. Dave, we're going to break again. I want to come back and talk more about the album. I should have mentioned that. Endgame from Megadeth, number one in the USA, number one, and they're going on tour. We'll tell you about that. We'll talk more about the New World Order as well with Dave Mustaine, the founder, guitarist, and lead. To Chaos, Megadeth. Gotta control myself not to do air guitar. Crank it up.
Chaos from Endgame.
That sounds like old school, but with somewhat of a new edge to it. That sounds like old school heavy metal, speed metal almost.
Yeah, well, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to stick with our roots and do what we know is what we do best. There was a period during the beginning of the millennium where bands were really forced to go and change themselves, not only change their image, change the way that they look and stuff like that, but also change the way that they make their living, their music. You know, it had to all get, everybody needed to be like Nirvana, you know, and I'm sorry, I just, that was not my cup of tea. So, you know, we struggled through a lot of stuff, and right now it's probably the most liberated that we've been with our careers and our music.
So keeping it pure, you got a new book coming out. Tell us about that.
Right, it's called Hello Me, Meet the Real Me, which is a lyric from Sweating Bullets. It had to be called that, you know that. And it's basically me, the person. It's not just me, a musician, because, you know, they've written everything that can be written about me as a musician from their point of view. And, you know, some of it's true, some of it's not, some of it's folklore, some of it makes me a lot cooler than I really am, so I just let them continue to think that way. But with the book itself, when I got to the last page and I closed the book, I looked up. I actually was so I was so satiated. I was so content that they finally have got my life into a book so far, and that I read it and I went, you know what? I get it. This is it. This is it. This is who I am. It explained everything perfectly. And the best part about it, I think, at the end of every chapter, it's like, God, you know, he did a lot of really rotten things, but at the end of every chapter, it tells how, you know, all those things have been made amends for, if it possible, and the people that we had all these hardships with, we've gone back and worked on things. You know, some people were in the band that I'm friends with still. Some people were in the band in the past, and I'm not friends with them.
Well, I tell you, I'm excited to read the new book when it comes out. Tell us about your new radio show you're launching. You're really going wild here.
Well, you know, I mean, you've got a great platform here for you to be able to share your heart with the American people and to educate them, which is, I think, one of the highest honors in our country here, is to be able to teach our children, the teachers that were there. Everybody's always asked me, what would I do if I wasn't a musician? I'd like to be a teacher. I mean, I know the pay is crap, and I know that you don't get any respect, but you know, I love teaching kids. I used to teach martial art at this one school in Scottsdale to kids, because the other teachers there weren't really good with the kids, and I loved it. So that's one of the things that I really enjoy doing. And watching the way that the whole music industry is kind of eaten itself and changed it, you know, with the whole digital download thing now, you've got to be really clever. So I really try my very best right now to participate with our fans as much as possible and listen to what they're talking about, what affects them. You know, it's hard for me to really know what it's like to have food stamps now, but you know what I did? I lived in a car when I was a teenager, and I was homeless. My mom was a maid, so I know all of these things that you have to go through it to get by in life, and I think that's one of the things that most rock stars, they try and forget.
Well, I agree. I see people's arrogance and their haughtiness. And I've been arrogant in my life at certain points, but I kind of flash back and forth. But I realize you get so much more strength and discernment when you are humble and realize how transitory this life is.
Right. And, you know, the best thing about it at the end of the day is you feel good about yourself when you've done something cool for somebody else, even if it's just enlightening them and educating them. You know, right now my son's almost 18, so we're going through a lot of life lessons right now. And yeah, he's making a lot of really costly mistakes, but he hasn't been dismembered or disfigured yet, so everything's okay. But, you know, I see this and I'm thinking, like, God, I want to interrupt and I want to rescue him and I want to. But that's why most of the kids in America right now are having so many problems, because all this false praise these kids are getting. You know what? Little Johnny ain't perfect. You know,
well, I mean, the establishment.
Such a great kid.
Well, the establishment, the controllers know that. They tell us we've got to be perfect. Madison Avenue tells us we've got to be perfect. So we all feel inadequate. So we've got to buy this death culture the New World Order is selling. And so, oh, yeah, your kid got in a fight. Oh, your kid's depressed because they're going into puberty. Oh, they need a bunch of mind-altering government-issued drugs.
Yeah. That, or isolate them, or single them out in front of everybody.
Or give them electroshock therapy. Now, you were telling me during a break, I don't know if you want to say this on air, but you're going on tour, and you were telling me there's some disinfo going on out there about the tour.
About the tour. Which part? Oh, the big four thing. Yeah, you know, a lot, there's rumors going around. In the beginning of heavy metal in the United States, there were four bands known as the Big Four, and that was Megadeth, Slayer, Metallica, and Anthrax. And, you know, it's funny, whenever I have a new record coming out or anything like that, there's always something like this that perks up to kind of distract the interviews away from my interviews to something other than that. So this is nothing more than a rumor. People are saying that the four bands are going to get together and tour. We haven't heard anything about this other than just rumor and conjecture. So we are out with Slayer, which is fantastic. And, you know, we're trying really, really hard right now to mend broken fences and just to, you know, do the right thing with these guys, because the fans love Megadeth and Slayer, the idea of us playing together. They're losing their minds. We went into Canada. It was all over the top metal. Euphoria for these kids. We're going down to Australia. I'm leaving on the 2nd down there to New Zealand, Australia, then Japan, and then we're coming back. We're going into Canada, and God willing, you know, we'll be bringing this package into the States someday.
And people can find out the tour dates around the globe at Megadeth.com. Death, yep, with an E, ladies and gentlemen. Megadeth.com. Dave Mustaine joins us, ladies and gentlemen, and we're very honored to have him. Dave, getting back into the whole global system, the whole New World Order, in a nutshell, if you feel like it, give us your worldview on the power structure. You say you've been doing a lot of research on it, and where you believe the planet is going and what the end game really is.
Well, that's a heavy question there to do all that. I'll try my best. Okay, I was brought up as a little kid. I got baptized at 4 as a Lutheran, and then I was brought up as a Jehovah's Witness. And then I revolted and got into witchcraft and black magic, and then spent subsequent almost dozen years the following 12 years or so trying to get rid of the demonic oppression I got by putting hexes on people. And then I became a Christian. So, I mean, I've been brought up around so much different religiosity. I'm kind of like Sybil, you know what I mean? And when it comes down to me thinking about how things are going towards the end, I have a very distorted view of it because I've been just brainwashed by the Jehovah's Witnesses. So, you know, when Christmas time comes around, I'm thinking, well, geez, what's the tree? What's all this crap? So, anyways, when it comes down to what my understanding is that there's going to be a final war at the end, and the whole way that the Antichrist plays out. This may alienate some of your listeners and stuff. I don't mean to make anybody feel bad or alienate.
You're allowed to have your view. Tell us.
Right, right. The problem is that I just am cautious about this, Alex, because there's so many people that say that they're Christian and they come off telling people that they're not doing stuff right. And I don't want to do that because I'm a different kind of person.
No, but we want to know your view. You're not preaching. Tell us.
Right. Okay, good. I just need to say that because I just don't want to miss out.
No, that's an important preface.
What I think right now, I'm watching the president, what you just said about him becoming the president of the UN. And I'm watching all these other things happen, like to say that one of the prophecies that came true in the Bible came from when Israel became a country again. And that was a prophecy. It was said that Israel would become a nation again. Well, it's a nation again. That happened back in the 60s, but it happened. So, you know, my belief is that there's going to be a new world order. There's going to be one guy that's going to run the world. There's going to be one currency that's around everywhere. They're going to try and get you to take the RFID chip. That's the mark of the beast that they're going to use to buy and sell things. And like you had brought up so brilliantly in your movie about Rockefeller, saying that if they don't like you, they're just going to turn your chip off.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, all of this stuff is mind-boggling because you don't really hear about all the technology and stuff like that in the Bible, but the Bible's the basic text I try and live my life by. And I still have a dirty mouth, and I still look at women and have kind of terrible thoughts sometimes. But, you know, as far
not a Pharisee. I mean, Jesus hung out with. He didn't hang out with the Pharisees saying how great they were. He hung out with people who were trying to have a pure heart. I mean, look at David. Look at David, you know, had people killed so he could have their women, but he repented, and so God said, that is a man after my own heart.
Right. Well, I just don't want people to try and find holes in what I'm saying because, you know, they've heard me say something in the past that was terrible. And I know I've done that. That's one of the things that I'm working on with the whole Slayer tour is that, you know, 19 years ago, Alex, I said something. But people are still holding on to it, and they keep bringing it up, and it keeps causing problems with me and with the guys in Slayer. Bottom line is I don't feel that way anymore. And I think that this is going to be a great opportunity for me to go into an area where, you know, there's a lot of people that cast aspersions and say all kinds of terrible stuff about heavy metal and the people in it. There are people in it that are terrible, but I'm not. And I think that
it's very diverse. But Dave, I interrupted you when you were getting into your worldview. What do you think about the rapture? Because I've read the Old Testament, and it clearly says the beast will wage war against the saints and overcome them. How, if we're all raptured out beforehand, can the beast wage war? How can he force people to take chips if everybody's submitting? And this is only a 150-year-old, 140-year-old doctrine of the pre-rapture. And so because everybody believes, I talk to these phony Christians – They won't fight any evil. They say, praise God, it's getting more evil. That means I'll be teleported out. I don't think Captain Kirk is going to teleport them off the surface.
Well, I don't believe in the rapture. I don't know enough about it to even know what it is. And the fact that, you know, all of a sudden I'm going to be here and then I'm going to be someplace else. My understanding is that I'm going to be witness to, you know, the great Armageddon. So, you know, I don't know this particular part because that's a little bit more cerebral than I've gotten into it because I've only been a Christian for a little while, but it's certainly good fodder.
Well, that's amazing. You know, I will tell you, I grew up in Dallas and saw a lot of occult stuff, and it was like an occult empire. I never really got into it, but, you know, I'd date this super good-looking girl who was a couple years older than me and, you know, and go to her parents' house, giant mansion, and find out they were Satanists. And I would go out with this, you know, super hot chick and find out they were Satanists, and I'd be taken to a party. And there'd be police there, and I would get my car and leave, and then they all got mad at me. The cops started pulling me over, you know, because I was wild and, you know, mean and beat the hell out of people, and I guess came off as satanic, but I wasn't because I have love in my heart. But I think seeing evil and not being perfect and then changing allows you to understand things and have discernment that people that have had a sheltered life or never experienced the power of the satanic empire. I believe that once you've been a little bit on the other side of it, it almost gives you an advantage because now I've been on both sides of the coin.
Right. And that's basically what I was saying in the beginning about being able to have the credentials to talk to these fans, to be able to, you know, to meet them where they're at. You know, there's nothing worse than being lectured to. You know, if someone wants to know something, you know, as human beings, we have most of us, when we're curious about something, you know, they can take it get unhuman strength and be able to sit up for hours studying things, you know, if they're interested in it. You know, for me, if I'm not interested in it, I can be asleep within 30 seconds. So,
but because you've been into the occult, you can actually, if people ask you, explain, this wasn't fun for me, and they wouldn't listen to some preacher, but they'd listen to Dave Mustaine of Megadeth.
Yeah, they would. And that's the great thing about all of this, because I'm not misusing my celebrity to tell people what to do. We've always been really supportive of encouraging people to read. That's why I've tried to use words more than baby in my songs. And that's why we've had stuff that's been really provocative, stuff that really encourages our listeners to stay in school and to do something good, to become great.
Well, Dave, I mean, this is incredibly powerful, what you're saying here today, and I know you're going to be a really great vessel for waking people up, but you say you've just now recently become a Christian. I think God's seal, the creator of the universe's seal, was on your heart from the beginning, because the fruits, you were the only heavy metal band that really didn't have that Satanism running through it, and everything you've done really was speaking against that system, and you said you didn't even understand what you were writing at the time. I think you were one of the lost sheep or the prodigal son. I think you've just come back home where you were always meant to be, but not in the false church, but in the real church that's in your heart.
Well, thanks. I'll accept that. I've always felt that there was something new, cool there was a much deeper meaning to what I was doing playing on stage, because I don't practice, Alex. I pick the guitar up about 3 days before we go on tour, and I have to learn the songs again, and then we go out on stage and play. And I don't know how that happened. It just happened. I know that my sister played piano when I was a kid, and she asked me to play guitar with her, and I thought, absolutely, anything to drown out that noise. And I started learning how to play guitar, I would put it down, and I wouldn't even look at it. I've lived in this new apartment here since my wife and I are separated. I've been here for almost a month. There's a guitar here. I haven't touched it. And it's really weird because, you know, you would think that it would be something that would be an extension of my body, you know.
Well, I mean, I think you're such a natural, and that it's something that you pick up when you, you know, go out there to perform, and just let it flow through you. We've got a final segment with Dave Mustaine. I know he's got some other stuff coming up. We'll see if I can twist his arm into 5-10 minutes more, because I want to be able to play a few more clips of his songs. But if he's got to leave us in about 10 minutes, I would imagine, Dave, that you'll join us again when you get back from Australia.
I would love to do that.
Amazing. Again, Megadeth.com, Dave Mustaine. We have links to it up on Infowars.com. The album is out. Number one record in the country out of the gates right now on Amazon.com. People... almost done. I'm going to go ahead and launch it today. It is falloftherepublic.com. We're building some of the subpages right now, but the new film is coming out October 21st, Fall of the Republic. And when Sunday show, I'm going to show you the cover of the film, but the website is similar, falloftherepublic.com. Megadeth.com is Dave Mustaine's band site. He's the founder, guitarist, and lead singer. The album is number one on many charts, number one on Amazon right now. They're going on tour. His new book is coming out. Find out about it all at megadeth.com. And you just heard the intro to Peace Sells there. Dave, we got about 5 minutes left. I've asked a lot of questions. What's on Dave Mustaine's mind?
Right now, I've got. I'm just preparing for the new tour coming up. You know, I have something that was wrong with my neck and my back, so I've been doing a lot of physical therapy for that, from all the headbanging over all the years, and just working on myself, trying to work out things with my kids and my marriage and stuff, and just, you know, looking at my life in general, and you know, what do I do? What's my role? You know, how can I help people?
You've got another interview coming up, but Dave's going to be back on with us in November when his next tour gets ready to kick off. We'll have a lot more to talk about. But let me just tell you from my perspective, we're getting calls, emails, huge comments on our message board in the comment sections. People love, and I'm talking about serious death fans, serious Megadeth fans, they love the new album, and I think it's going to be one of your biggest and greatest, I guess. Out of the gates, it's already happening. And I just think this is a really exciting direction you're going in. I mean, you're still going in the same direction, but you've kind of kicked it up a notch in intensity. Are you getting the same feedback?
Well, we've got a lot of great reviews. You know, by no means is anything over yet, and this band would be really blessed if we were able to gain some of your following. And basically, you know, you and I are speaking the same language. We're singing from the same, you know, hymnal. But, you know, with what we're trying to do, get these tours out of the way. You can plan on us being back in the studio or me visiting you out there for some barbecue in November.
Man, that is awesome. Or I'll come out whenever I'm out in your neck of the woods. Maybe we can hook up for some barbecue. But it is better. It is better here. You're out in California. I guess they got good sushi there.
Everybody says they got good sushi out here. And you know what? You go into one of these places with one of these idiots, and it's like, I didn't know tuna was green. So, anyways, back to what we were talking about before. You know, it would be really great to invite you and your crew down to our concert, too, if you want to bring a film crew down there, and we can talk some more there and show you a little bit about what I do.
Absolutely killer. Well, Dave, we'll stay in touch with you and your management, and you are... You know, really trailblazing with your record label. People should support it. It is independent. It is maverick. It is original and authentic. Dave Mustaine, founder of Megadeth, thank you so much for joining us. The new album is Endgame. Dave, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Alex. Take care.
All right, we'll talk to you again soon.